This is London calling in the North American service. We present More Canadians Come Back, in which Lieutenant Jack Scott introduces you to Sergeant Bert Bradford of Brockville, Ontario, Lance Corporal Noel Canting of McCreary, Manitoba, Private Mary Vautour of Tragedy, New Brunswick, Gunner Tom Rivett of Montreal, and able-bodied seaman John McGrath, also of Montreal. These five Canadians were all wounded during the first week of the Allied landings. Back in England, and now able to walk, they've come to the microphone to tell you all about it. Lieutenant Jack Scott.
This is Lieutenant Jack Scott of the Canadian Army, speaking from the studios of the British Broadcasting Corporation in London. With me are five Canadian servicemen who are back from Normandy with wounds. They're wearing the light blue hospital uniforms with the white shirt and crimson tie that replaced their khaki battle dress. And now let's have them introduce themselves. Sergeant?
I'm Sergeant Bert Bradford of Brockville, Ontario. I was with an infantry unit that was wounded after 4 days of fighting. Got a piece of steel from a booby trap in the side of my head.
Lance Corporal?
I'm Lance Corporal in the Royal Clapton of McCreary, Manitoba. I'm a tank driver. I was wounded on the fourth day, too, by a shrapnel from a German anti-tank gun in my right knee and my left hand.
And your name?
I'm Private Vautour. I'm Private Amity Vautour from Tragedy, New Brunswick. I belong to an infantry regiment.
I got wounded, too, the fourth day after I was in land into the left shoulder.
I see. And next?
I'm Gunner Tom Rivett of Montreal. I'm one of those tough luck guys. They brought me out with a fractured elbow. I was hit by the breech of a 75-millimeter gun in our tank when we ran into a wall. Put out of action by my own gun.
And finally, your name.
I'm Able Seaman John McGrath, the Royal Canadian Navy of Montreal. I was wounded on a beach after being there 3 days. Got six pieces of shrapnel in my leg.
Now, wait a minute. How did a Navy man get in with these four Army casualties?
Well, that's quite a story, because Bradford here and myself got sort of mixed up together on the show.
Yeah, McGrath here was one of the crew of the landing craft that took part of our outfit into the beach. We didn't know it then, but we were going to get the return trip together, too.
And you went in together and out together, eh?
Is that right, McGrath?
That's right. Our landing craft hit a mine going in, put a big hole in the bottom. That meant we had to spend the next four nights on the beach. We were trying to get our craft in shape. On the fourth night, just as we were ready to push off, we got it. The mortar shell hit the deck and two of us were hit. Well, we got off the beach all right and got out to a hospital ship.
And Bradford here was on the same ship, eh?
That's right. I'd run into this booby trap about 8 miles inland. A German car was burning and I was walking by about 20 feet from it when I heard a crack. I thought it was a sniper and made a dive for the ground, but it was too late. I figure I must have released some kind of a mechanism that set a booby trap off. I guess the car was just a decoy.
It must have been. Did any of you others run into those booby traps?
We saw plenty of them. I saw one of our guys get his hand blown off by one. We were in a French store the Germans had been using. The fellow reached up to look at a pipe, and when he moved the pipe, wham.
We'd had plenty of warnings about booby traps, but some of them were too clever to figure out.
Well, with those booby traps and mines, the place wasn't exactly healthy, eh?
From the Navy standpoint, McGrath, what about those mines on the beach?
The trick was to come in on low tide when you could see them. In our case, we had to take the chance of going in on high tide, and that was how we got it. There were no casualties because of all the troops were at. That was one of the tricks of landing. We lost the boat, but not the men.
We haven't heard much from these tank men. How was it for you, Canton?
At our particular beach, we had a good landing. Told we had later, it was like going out for a Sunday drive. The first day, we had a couple of tanks knocked out by anti-tank guns. It wasn't until the third day that things got tougher.
About that time, we were looking for trouble.
The mortars were the chief headaches we had with our tanks. They were using 6-barreled and sometimes 10-barreled mortar that throws a pattern of shells around you. They call them sobbing sisters, and they were deadly accurate.
Yeah, it was tough going, but we were doing pretty well. We hardly had time to eat. We did on the run whenever we could.
Well, you were using those compo rations, eh?
That's right.
What do you think of them?
They worked out okay, but there never was much time to eat.
About the only thing we were getting was French cider. They had it by the barrels. The people brought it out to us in the streets. I guess that's all they had to offer.
So how did you Navy men eat, McGrath?
First class. We had steak and everything. We kept right on living on the ship while we were trying to patch up, and the cook really went to town. One night on the beach, we had steak and chips and peas, raisin pie for dessert.
Why didn't I join the Navy?
You were telling us before the broadcast, Sam McGrath, that this is your fourth operation, eh?
Yes. I was with the landing craft in North Africa, Sicily, and Italy, and before this show.
But this is the first operation for you Army men, is it?
Yeah, but we've all been in the service for over 3 years.
I guess you were ready for something like this, eh?
Yeah, we were pretty browned off waiting. Sometimes we figured we never would see action. So it was pretty good news when they started to brief us about a week before the invasion began.
Let me see. What are your own feelings about the resistance the Germans are putting up over there? Bradford?
Well, the first day and a half wasn't so bad. But then it began to stiffen plenty. It's tough now, and I figure it'll keep being that way. You can't underestimate their army.
Our experience was that they'll fight as long as they're organized. But if you knock out their leaders, they'll soften up.
Yes, we found the quality of their troops got better the further we got inland.
Well, you were telling me that a lot of the first prisoners were very young. How about that, McGrath? You must have seen a lot of them.
Either too young or too old. That's the way we figured. They seem to have a sprinkling of veterans from the other fronts to hold them together.
Most of them I saw seemed scared. And I'll tell you, if we weren't worried about prisoners, we just kept firing at our targets. I know one time our gunner fired over the heads of about 15 prisoners at a target, and the Jerrys went right down on their knees, waving that white flag.
We must have amazed some of the Jerrys when he passed by and found us playing baseball on the beach.
That's very good. I think Canadians would be particularly interested in what happens to you after you get wounded. What happened to you, Rivet?
There's a stretcher bearer handy when I got hurt. He took me to a regimental aid post where they gave you first aid. Next morning, we went to a field dressing station, then to a casualty clearing station on the beach. Finally, to the hospital ship.
The casualty clearing station sorts you out and decides where you're to go. In some cases, the wounded are sent back to their units. These boys are usually treated for light surface wounds.
I see. Tell us, McGrath, what part does the Navy play in ferrying the wounded out to the hospital ships for that trip back to England?
We have several types of small ships that do nothing else but this sort of work.
The one that took me out to my hospital ship was a small boat with a large red cross painted over the motor hatch.
Well, you mentioned at the medical corps, both Canadian and British did a wonderful job looking after us. I know in one case where one of my friends was badly blown in a tank, the stretcher bearers went right out to the front lines in the jeep, exposed to the same fire as the infantrymen, and got him back to the advanced field dressing station. When I last saw him, he had a 50-50 chance to pull through.
Oh, that's fine. Well, there's just one more question I'd like to ask. You fellows went in with the Canadians. Let's hear what you think of them now that they're having their big test. Bradford?
They couldn't be beat.
That's all I can say.
What do you say, Captain?
I think the thing I learned the longest is the way the infantrymen appreciated both tanks around and the way the tanks felt about the infantry. We found out just how important cooperation can be.
What Captain says is quite true. We really like to see those tanks around. When we went in there, the morale was as high as any army in the world, and I figure it'll stay that way.
What do you say, Rivet?
All I can say is I'd rather fight with them than against them.
Nicely said. And McGrath, what do you Navy men think of that army?
Well, our boys have taken in troops from almost all the Allied nations. We have never brought in any better troops than the Canadians.
Thank you very much. You've been listening to five Canadian servicemen returned with wounds from the Second Front. This is Lieutenant Jack Scott of the Canadian Army, speaking from the studios of the British Broadcasting Corporation in London.
Thank you, Lieutenant Scott. You've been listening to More Canadians Come Back, in which five Canadians wounded in the Allied landings told you of their experiences in Normandy. This program came to you from the studios of the BBC in London.